Okay, so I am online with some brothers, and I want to get back to our Revelation study. We're in chapter 2, verse-by-verse study. Check out don'tperish.com. Look for the verse-by-verse tab, and you can get caught up on all the rest of the verse-by-verse studies. But today, we're going to get into Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to finish verse 9. I kind of ended in the middle of verse 9 last time, so go check that out. But we're going to start in the middle of verse 9, and we're going to go through verse 12. So let's get right to it. So Christ says, in the last part of verse 9, chapter 2, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. All right, so just a little bit of back story here. Jesus is speaking to the body, the ecclesia from Smyrna. This is known as the persecuted body. And because obviously, as we read on, we see that they were persecuted, going through trials. And it's interesting, this is the body that Jesus had no correction for. That's a pretty nice thing to have on your record. He had no correction for this body of Smyrna. So he says, I know the blasphemy, and that word blasphemy, evil speaking, railing, slander, detraction, speech injurious, reproachful speech, injurious to divine majesty. So in everything you can imagine for blasphemous. And he mentions Jews who aren't, and the synagogue of Satan. So who are these? In the book of Revelation, we're going to go through a lot of things that we can absolutely know dogmatically. And we're going to go through things where we have to say, you know, we can't know this dogmatically because the inspired holy word of God doesn't tell us exactly more in this case. And so I'm one of those types of people. When I teach, I am not going to go into all kinds of conjecture. I'll tell you when it can be dogmatic. I'll tell you can't be dogmatic. I may give you, and as I'm going to do here, some possibilities, but it's not a dogmatic answer. So we're going to have to handle a lot of that with the book of Revelation. Some things are a mystery to us. So who are they? I don't think we can be dogmatic, because they aren't mentioned anywhere in Scripture, but here and in Revelation 3:9, in the letter to the church at Philadelphia, the body of Philadelphia. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come to worship before thy feet to know that I have loved thee. So, without being dogmatic, we can't know for sure, as I said. Could it be, some people have said, that this was a group of Jews who heavily persecuted the Christian churches in the areas that are being discussed? And that does kind of make sense. Why? I mentioned Smyrna was a very persecuted body. The scriptures tell us that. And synagogue means a meeting place of the Jews. And it's clear Satan has his way with people that have antichrist spirits, like the people that refuse to believe Christ is the Messiah. And so they get his name. And so I think that's a possibility, but we don't know a lot about this Jews that say they're Jews and the synagogue of Satan. And then when we think about it with Paul and with Jesus, here's a key factor that might fit into why this could be Jews persecuting the bodies at that time. When you look at Paul, the two big figures of the New Testament, Jesus being God himself, of course, the biggest figure, and then Paul being the emissary to go and proclaim the word, it was not the Romans. Have you thought about this? It wasn't the Romans that who first sought to persecute and imprison them. It wasn't. It was the Jews. The Jews persecuted the early saints. Look at Saul before he came. Paul was murdering them. The Jews were persecuting the Christians. They had protection under Rome and an agreement. As long as they stayed within their religion and was paying taxes and following Roman laws in other areas, they were allowed to go on. But the Christians, they began had a reputation of following a new king, Jesus. That was a threat to Caesar. And eventually the Jews stirred up so much trouble. We see it all through the New Testament that the Jews caused pressure against the Christians. In Romans 9, you can read about it. Paul talks about Jews that aren't Jews. And it's like that today in Israel, the nation of Israel. You look at the nation of Israel, that section of land and that group and that bloodline is the people God talked about. But that secular Jewish nation today, with like Tel Aviv, with more homosexuality and more abortions per capita than any place in the world, that was true some years back. Very secular, godless nation Israel is today. Many Jews coming to faith in Messiah, but still very secular, wicked. And so it's possible that those Jews back then were heavily persecuting those believers. And that's what we know about the synagogue of Satan, Jews that say they're Jews and not Jews. We know that Satan's a hater and a persecutor of God's people. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So I think all of that makes sense. But we can't be dogmatic and say much more than that. There was a group of, sounds like, Jews that were called the synagogue of Satan, persecuting God's people, causing tribulation. Yeah, nothing new under the sun, right? We see that all over the Old and the New Testament. Let's go on to verse 10. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. All right, so his words are, fear not. I love this. This is a consistent message. Remember, the book of Revelation is really a revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole Bible is all about him, but Revelation really enhances that, and it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, and fear not is something that's said often all over Scripture. And our fear, when we do have it, is to be reserved for God, not fearing Satan, not fearing man. Let us remember that. Matthew 10:28. Fear not them which kill the body, which would be the Jews, the Antichrist, all of these wicked people around us, but are not able to kill the soul, but fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So, we're to fear God. The Old Testament Proverbs tells us the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. And we know that if you have the wrong fear, timid, fearful, will not inherit eternal life. Revelation 21:8 tells us that. So I love that. He tells them, fear not. That's a message of Jesus all through the Scriptures. It gives us a great encouragement to not fear, trust in him, look to him. And then he says, the devil will cast some of you in prison to be tried. That word tried, paradzo, tested or proved. It's not like a legal court case we don't believe that he's talking about here. He's talking about to be tried, to be tested. And we all should be getting ready for that. All believers, because we don't believe in pre-trib rapture. That's an absolute lie. Check that out at don'tperish.com in the teaching blog. Pre-trib rapture is not going to happen. God is going to protect us from his wrath, but we will be on earth during the tribulation and suffer the wrath of Satan. The book of Revelation talks about that, and other places does as well. And so we have to be ready to be tried. And if you love God and you serve God now, yeah, there's a good chance one day you're going to be thrown in prison. Your family could be taken from you or killed. Question, will you still love God? Will you still be faithful? Will you still serve him? Will you still have joy? Yeah, grief, if you lost him, I get it. You love him. But we still have joy in the Lord to serve him. We got to get ready for the tribulation that's coming. And I think Revelation, with all of its promises, gets us ready for no matter what comes, we can be ready. And if you ponder it, studying the book of Revelation gets us ready for exactly what's coming. And it doesn't matter if you never live to see the tribulation. Jesus said, in this life you will have much tribulation, but rejoice, I've overcome the world, John 16:33. And so that's a great promise. No matter if it's cancer now, or tribulation, or jail, or persecution, or you have to go through the tribulation, literally itself, he's helped us overcome. By the Spirit, we can do this, and the Word. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So let's get used to it. Revelation is preparing his people to go through this. We have to go through it now. Many of us have gone through persecution, nothing like what the book of Revelation is talking about, but it is a preparation time. Look to Christ. Put your fear in its right place. Put your trust in its right place. Get all things in order. Let go of your life. Love not your life unto death. Have your testimony in place. Look to the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, Revelation 11, 12, I'm just quoting basically. And you'll be ready to go through any tribulation that comes. And then Jesus said, you shall suffer, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Again, I mentioned John 16, 33. He promises tribulation. What is this 10 days? All right, I already said it in this verse by verse. There's some things in Revelation that are a mystery that we don't know 100% about. I think this is one of those. We can't be fully dogmatic here. 10 days. We got to be very careful here. I will tell you that there are people that say it's a literal 10 days of trials for whatever reason. And then there's other people that say it could have been 10 periods of persecution from Nero to, I think the emperor's name is Diocletian. But who can know this for sure? It's going outside of scripture. We can't be clear. I'm not going there. We really don't have anything more on that 10 days that I can see and study out that I'm willing to offer up and say, hey, that's what this is all about. And so I'm not going there. I want to be very cautious. And I think here's a good point to remind us about the book of Revelation study. When you study like the New Testament especially, you can usually clearly get good dogmatic statements from virtually everything you read. You go to the Old Testament, pretty much so. Some things are a mystery. Some things we don't know exactly. You get to the book of Revelation, there's a lot more because it's futuristic. And I think this is a good place to not lose our focus on the focus. So in other words, I see people going off in 10 days. It could be this. And they go in the Old Testament. It looks like this. And that number's here. And it's all over here. But guess what? I believe that's like getting so close to the forest. You're staring at the bark on one tree that you don't even see the whole forest, if that makes sense. So I think Revelation, I keep saying it, and as I'm reading through this book and studying it, it keeps coming clear to me. The book of Revelation is all about the revelation of Jesus Christ, his victory, his promises to us, his holy saints overcoming, his ultimate victory in the end and the new heaven and the new earth. I don't think we can get caught up on what is 10 days when the Bible doesn't even teach us that. So we're going to leave that right there. I can't tell you. If anybody has a better answer, feel free to email me about that 10 days right there. So we'll keep going. Then Jesus says, and we'll go on to some important stuff. It's all important, but stuff that we can definitely speak dogmatic about. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So here's an example of a verse, you know, you'll suffer 10 days. We don't know what that is. You could put so much focus on that, you miss what we absolutely can know. He says, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Did you notice he says faithful unto death? Does that mean you endure to the end of your life and the end of your faith race? Oh, yeah. Matthew 10, he said, you have to endure and lose your life to find him. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. You must endure to the end. Matthew 24, Matthew 10, Paul says it in various places. You must endure. And then you're going to get something that's, he says, a crown of life. We'll talk about it. A crown of life, if we're faithful to the end. That should be our focus when we're studying the book of Revelation, not 666 and all these other things that we can't be dogmatic on. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So James is echoing what we see in Revelation. And 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, talking about his second coming, he shall receive, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Yeah, it's incorruptible. It's not a corruptible crown. It's not a plastic trophy. It's not a gold medal that'll burn up in heat and fire. Crown, Stephanus, it means a mark of royal or exalted rank. Sometimes it was a wreath or a garland which was given to victors in a prize in some public games. It's a crown. It's a reward of righteousness. It's an ornament of honor to one. So the crown of life, to come, promised by Christ himself, if we're faithful and remain faithful to death. That's endure all the way to the end. And that needs to be our focus. I want to say it again. If we're born of him, no matter what we face, eternal life awaits us per Christ, who holds all power and authority to pick up. He laid down his life. He picked it up. He holds. He is the life and the resurrection. We can rest in that. What a glorious promise. Overcome. You will get that crown of life if you endure to the end. That is an awesome, awesome promise. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the ecclesia of the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Okay, another great promise. The book of Revelation is full of them. Jesus echoes the glorious promise that he gave us in John 16 and about tribulation and overcoming. And we know that he is the truth, and we know that the Spirit is the truth, and that's how we overcome, by the Spirit, by the Word, walking in the truth. And he says, if you have ears to hear, his ecclesia hears, his called out ones hear. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. Not his literal voice today. We hear the Word of God, and we are following him. To hear, that word is akouo. It means to hear in the Greek. Also, the mindset is prothumia in the Greek. It means from Acts 17 and akouos in Mark 7. Acts 17 is prothumia. They had a readiness of mind for truth. They could hear it. They wanted it. And akouo hears the truth and grasps it. So that's awesome gift to have. I know brothers like that and sisters like that that hear the word have prothumia. And they strive for it. And that's how we're going to overcome. That's how we're going to gain these promises, because of the blood of the Lamb. And that's something we must grasp on and hold on to and not let go of. And then he says, you must overcome. Nikeo. That's that word. I said it in another verse by verse. It means to conquer, to prevail. So in this case, it means we mean that we need to conquer, overcome, prevail over all tribulation, all trials, unto death, with our faith in Christ intact. Yeah, that's perseverance, right to the end. And that word overcome, it appears 22 times in the New Testament, 11, half of those times in the New Testament. Overcome, overcome, overcome is the mandate and the charge. And again, what a great promise if we overcome. He's given us all the tools we need. The Word, the Spirit, faith, repentance, power, grace. And we can do this if we keep our eyes set on our portion, who is Christ. The book of Revelation is revealing him to us with all these great promises. And then he says, I love this. He says, if we overcome, we won't suffer the second death. Again, more evidence of enduring, not just easy believe, once saved, always saved, enduring. Overcoming is conquering, enduring. We overcome the trials, the persecution. We got to finish our race, as Paul talked about. And then he said, you will not be hurt by the second death. Second death, it's used four times in the New Testament word. And in each time, it's in the book of Revelation. And we know dogmatically exactly what it is. How do I know that? Not because anybody told me outside of Scripture. Scripture is going to tell us. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. The truth is important. Look at all liars. With that bad crowd, liars get thrown in there. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What's the second death? People would call it hell, the pit, the lake of fire that Satan and his minions are going to go in, and people outside of Christ are going to go in. And so the second death, you die once physically. Most people are going to die once physically. The only people that won't die physically are the ones that are alive when Christ returns. But most people will die once physically. That's a physical death. Then there's a spiritual death. And that is the second death. It's judgment and hell away from good, pure, true love of the Father. And it's in weeping and gnashing of teeth that Jesus talked about. Jesus described hell more than heaven. that should alert us. It's a place you do not want to go. And it's those that are outside of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, repentance to him. You're born by his Spirit, which helps you overcome, and you're walking in holiness and obedience. You're looking for his return, or at your death, you're going to be with him, and you're enduring in the faith. That's the gospel. That's the crown of life we're going to get if we overcome. And it's glorious because if you think about it, if you've read much of the New Testament and foreshadowed in the Old Testament, Christ tasted death for us, and he defeated it for us. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So what a glorious section of scripture here, giving us promises, overcoming, crown of life. You won't suffer the second death. We need to rejoice, saints, as we study the book of Revelation out. The main focus again, I keep saying it, I'm going to keep saying, is Jesus Christ the victor, his promises to his people, how they can overcome. The focus is not going to be 666, those 10 days, all the other things that people focus on, giving glory to Satan and his minions. The focus is on Christ, his promises, overcoming. And as we say as a body of believers, Revelation is helping us with one thing, one important thing, AOC. All eyes on Christ. If you come out of this book of Revelation study with your eyes glued to Jesus, seeing who he is, seeing what he's done, seeing the promises he's made, knowing you can overcome anything, even under death, torture, death, everything, and be victorious in him, I think I've done my job when it comes to the book of Revelation. So we're going to leave it right there for now. We'll pick up next time at the next verses. I hope that blessed you, edified you. Check out don'tperish.com for all the resources. We're pouring out so much. Brothers and sisters are putting in the Ecclesia gathering area. We are now reading the New Testament on Bible, Bible on audio. We're now reading the Old Testament. We've got things going in for children and parents. Lots of resources there to help you. Reach out if you want accountability and you want help in the biblical faith. We love you all. Thanks for listening. May God be glorified in all of us. And may God be praised.